Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially toward the end. And when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is the text. Some years ago, I began reading a set of books. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Gulag Archipelago, about the prison camps in the Soviet Union. And Solzhenitsyn, page 613, tells of a writer he met in that prison camp and said he had a very bold pen. His style was one of strong contrasts. That's an interesting statement. It's an interesting statement for us as Christians, as Lutherans. We talk about some pretty strong contrast, don't we? Law and gospel, the law thundering, the gospel speaking such sweetness. Sinner and saint, why that contrast is right within us. As Christians, we are both. We are sinner saints. Or the great exchange that Jesus gives himself for receiving punishment for our sins. He takes our sins on him and gives us his own holiness. He takes our death on him, gives us his own life. The humiliation of Jesus. That he who is the Son of God, eternally blessed, decides to set all of that aside and take the lowest place. The hidden character of what Paul calls the freedom of the glory of the children of God, that you and I, we are heirs of heaven, heirs of eternal life, and all of these things are ours, and yet we must spend our time in this life waiting for it, and it must be hidden, because if it is not hidden, then where is faith? God wants people who come to him for what he is, says Luther, and not in order to get off easier in life or get all of the shortcuts and all sorts of favors, but because of who God is. And so you have one of the greatest contrasts. You've got Jesus in the Jordan River. The sinless Son of God being baptized? What is that? Isn't baptism for the washing away of sin? So why is Jesus there in the Jordan River? Isn't baptism in order to restore a relationship with God? What restoring of relationship with God does Jesus need? Isn't baptism a baptism of repentance and turning away from our old sinful life? What does Jesus have to repent of? And by saying those things, I want to bring to your minds and create this picture in your minds of just how strange it is to have the sinless Son of God there in the Jordan River, going to John to be baptized by John. And while it isn't in the Gospel of Luke, it is in the Gospel of Matthew, who relates John saying to Jesus, "Look, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me?" And Jesus answers there, "Permit it for now, for it is fitting in this way to fulfill all righteousness." What righteousness did he have to fulfill? What holiness needed filling up? And there comes the answer when you ask that question, because it's not his own righteousness that needs filling up or fulfilling. It's mine. The Son of God is there in the water for me. For my repentance. For for my salvation, for my coming to faith, for my being made right with God. It's not that he goes to baptism to have sins washed away, to receive a cleansing from those waters. He goes as the sinless, spotless, holy Son of God, that he may give his holiness to those who will come into the water after him. There we can stop for a moment and realize that we are back at law and gospel. Because at the same time, seeing Jesus there makes us realize our need. Our need as sinners to have a Savior. That's the law part. And the gospel part, the Savior we do have. And how wondrous and amazing he is. And if there's one faithful guide for all of this in the life of Jesus and how we are to understand it and fit it into everything else, it is two simple words. The words, for you. Write that over the baptism of Jesus. Write it over the life of Jesus from beginning to end. For you, out in the wilderness and praying. For you, preaching the gospel to the people. For you, doing healings. For you, deciding that he was not going to take the easy way, but he was going to go the way of the cross. Now, God Almighty wading in the Jordan. Remind ourselves also of all that Jesus set aside in order to take up the work of salvation. It's a style of great contrast. The one who rules heaven is now wading in the water. The one who angels sing his praises is having John the Baptist pour that water over him, and the one who is in the likeness of God sets everything aside, empties himself, and is found in fashion as a man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Great contrast. The Almighty stoops down to raise me up. God decides to be one of us and to walk with us and to share all that it means to be a human being, including being accused of sin, even if the sin was not his own. He went to stand before his Father with our sin. And Paul continues on. That part just recently was in Philippians 2. Paul continues on. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now all of this is reflected in what baptism is. What is it? This thing called baptism. If you came up here and looked into the baptismal font, if I added some water to the baptismal font to make it ready to use, what would you see? Not much. What do you see when a little child is brought up and the pastor pours the water over the head of the little child? Not much. Very simple, very humble. Nothing that in the looking at it would shake the world and make people sit up and take notice. But that's the way God does things. He hides his best blessings in what looks foolish and simple. So a little splash of water and a few words spoken, and God hides a blessing there. A little bite of bread, sip of wine. Again, God hides a blessing there. Printed words on a page. God hides a blessing there. The fascinating thing is, He hides the blessings always in the same way. The baptism is the water and the Word. But being the Word of God, well, what is the Word of God? At the beginning of the world, the Word of God sounds forth and God says, let there be light. And what happens? There's light. God says, let the earth bring forth. And what happens? The earth brings forth. And then in baptism, God says over you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what happens? You are named by God's name and joined to His family. And everything that Jesus earned for you on the cross, He takes and He gives it to you by His words. You come to the supper. What does the Word of God say? This is my body. And then, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And what happens then? Sins are forgiven. And Jesus Christ joins Himself to you and joins you to Him. Printed words on a page. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And the Word of God comes to you, and as that Word of God comes to you, it brings what it says. It gives what it talks about, and it connects you, always connects you with Jesus Christ, with His cross, with His death, with His resurrection, baptized into His death and baptized into His resurrection. Now, after Jesus was baptized that day, He was praying. And the whole heaven and all creation has to open up. And the three blessings that He gives through His baptism. Number one, He saw the heavens open. Number two, the Holy Spirit descends upon Him in bodily form like a dove. Number three, the Father says, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. And now take that theme from earlier, those two words, the for you, and write those words over these blessings as well. You are baptized, and what does God do? He opens up heaven through the forgiveness of sins. He pours out the Holy Spirit upon you to work inside your heart and create faith, to bring you to faith and keep you in faith. And God the Father looks on you and says, now this is my beloved child. All that Jesus does is for you. But you come to the baptismal font, you look in the baptismal font, will you see those blessings there with your eyes? Of course not. And even that fits into the pattern, because what God has asked you to do is to not see with your eyes and yet to believe and trust the words and promises of God. Because it's words and promises that go into the soul. And that's what must happen. In our catechism, baptism, question 3, the answer. Without the Word of God, the water is simple water only and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism. That is a water of life, rich in grace, and a bath of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. Without the Word of God, it is nothing, only the splashing of water. But with the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to carry and bring and give everything that it promises. His words, not like our words. His word does what it says. His word creates. His word forgives. His word calls us to life. His word is what he puts into our souls to make us his own. Now, is that a difficult thing? To say, don't look with your eyes. Grab a hold of the Word of God and trust the Word of God. It's not seen, but it is sure and certain. Is that a difficult thing? Is it a practical thing? Is it a daily how to make your way through this life kind of thing? Actually, it is. It has everything to do with everyday life. Because in this life, every single day, we have to trust in and hold to things that are not seen. How many things in life do you have to take on promise? How many things in life are you expected to live your life trusting in without having to actually see them with your own eyes? How about if I were to tell you that that is exactly what the Father asked of Jesus, his Son? To go forth, to do the work of saving the world, and to not see with his eyes the success until it was done. To not see with his eyes the promises set before him. To simply take those on the Word of God, the words and promises of God, and step out boldly trusting in those things. And through the life of Jesus, you see time and time again his absolute trust in his Father. And that absolute trust in his Father keeps on building, challenged by more and more, until it comes to a climax. First, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus kneels in prayer and says, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." And it doesn't pass. And then as he's arrested and beaten and carries his cross, then to Calvary, where he must hang there on the tree, forsaken by God and man, and cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And cry out that prayer with faith, trusting the words and promises of God. Jesus says to us, "Come, follow me." That means to trust the words and promises of God. He says, "Come, follow me." And that means that for a lot of our lives, we will not see daily and every moment and every hour blessings poured out. We will have to accept by faith what God intends for us. It means that in our lives of faith, in one way, very simply, you can say it like this: our life of faith is an exercise in holding on to the words and promises of God. That's why we have a certain pattern in our worship. We begin with words of baptism. You hear the words of baptism again at the absolution. You hear the words and promises of God scattered throughout our services. You hear references to baptism, including the creed that we used today. And we get on to the benediction at the very end, and the benediction also has something to do with baptism and is a Trinitarian benediction. But simply this, simply take this one thing, that to live the life of a Christian means to hold on to the words and promises of God. Can we do this on our own? No. Does God give His Holy Spirit? Yes. Does God give His Word to renew us day by day? Yes. Does God give the gifts of baptism and the Lord's Supper to refresh us along our way? Yes. Does He hold us in His hands and strengthen us? And that's what it's all about. In Jesus' name. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.